Hey, Red.
What's up, man?
You remember the record?
What record you talking about, man?
Come on, Hey Lover by LL Cool J, Boyz II Men.
God damn, I remember that record.
Yeah,
shoot, man, that's the best record in the world.
Fucking, let's talk about it, right? Yo, what's up, Cornish Thorners? Yo, my name is Johnny Warbucks. Once again, I am here with Kalashnikov Red, and welcome to our fourth installment of Remember the Record. And today we are talking about the hit classic Hey Lover by LL Cool J, featuring Boyz II Men, which was first released as a single back on October 31st, 1995. Now, but before we talk about all that, in honor of the recent passing of Gangsta Boo, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, rest in peace, Gangsta Boo, yeah?
Yeah, rest in peace for reals, for reals.
Pioneer, man. One at some point or another, we'll be talking about you on this show for sure, love.
Man, she had some skill and she had some attitude.
But she had everything, man. She had looks.
Yep.
Shoot, man. She pioneered too. I mean, like the whole, all this mumble rap you hear on the radio today, right?
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff started that triple time. That was her and her camp, dude.
Yep. That influenced me on my flows as well.
Definitely influenced me on my flows. Hardcore.
All right, let's get back to this.
All right, guys. All right, look. So I'm going to go ahead and hit you with some song facts about Hey Lover, okay? Real quick. Obviously by LL Cool J, Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men consists of Nathan and Wanya Morris, Sean Stockman, and Mike Bass, Michael McCrary. The date of the single release, October 31st, 1995. The B-side was the I Shot You remix with Keith Murray, Prodigy, Fat Joe, and at the time, grand debut, Foxy Brown. Did you know that was how that's how she came out?
I had no idea.
Yeah, that was her big step into the scene.
Wow, I thought it was with the Jay-Z.
No, man, I thought that was pretty wild. We can talk about that in a minute, too, because there's some interesting side notes there. But first album appearance, Mr. Smith, November 21st, 1995. That was LL Cool J's sixth album, recorded at Stone Creek. That's in Gladwin, Pennsylvania. Released on Def Jam, Manhattan, New York, which was founded back in 1984, Rick Rubin and Russell Simmons. Producers are Trackmasters, also known as Poke and Tone, written by LL Cool J. And then a note for the invisible man, Rod Temperton, who passed away in 2016 originally from the band Heatwave. He was recruited by Quincy Jones to write and compose songs for Michael Jackson. And it's that song credit that gave him that for the sample that he got writing notes. So in turn, the song contains the sample from Michael Jackson's The Lady in My Life from 1982's Thriller album, which was one of only two songs that weren't actual singles from the album. Which,
really?
Yeah, that was one of the songs that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't remember that being a single.
So, "Lady in My Life," a deep cut.
Yeah,
that's wild to me, man.
Yeah, that is
because you know that's a banger.
But I mean, it also had to go contend against, you know.
I mean, yeah, yeah, like, the whole fucking album.
Yeah, so
start something. Oh, that's it. Every single one of those records.
All of those are good, man.
Yeah, Paul McCartney on that album.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, shit.
Yeah.
You got, and get this, so the drums in Hey Lover, they're from All Night Long by the Mary Jane Girls. So the opening, when the song starts, that opening drum piece, mm-hmm. they sample that, and that's the whole shit for Hey Lover.
I didn't know that until I hear it, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay.
I would imagine that's been sampled 1,000 times.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that album was their self-titled album, released back in 1983. Hey Lover is 4 minutes, 46 seconds long. Time for some certifications. This is a song that went platinum in the U.S., 1997 Grammy for Best Rap Solo Performance, LL Cool J's second since Mama Said Knock You Out back in 92.
Mama Said Knock You Out. That's so, a great one.
Mr. Smith, in the album, Mr. Smith went double platinum.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
It was a massive record. It was a massive record for LL. Big comeback record.
Yeah, it was.
14 Shots in the Dome didn't do
it. Yeah, no, I'm like, yeah, he was kind of. And then,
I love that album too.
Boom. Boom, man. It just came out with that.
And then he kept going after that. You got Phenomenon coming up next.
Yep.
Some big ass records. Yeah, let's go ahead and talk about it, dude. What's up?
You know, I had the first album of LL Cool J, and no, it wasn't the first. I had Walk with the Panther.
Walk with the Panther,
second one, right? Yeah,
dude, I don't think that's a second album, bro. I don't.
Is that?
I don't think so, no.
And I thought, no, you're right. No, no, no. Anyways, I had that one. And I grew up listening to LL, like, throughout, like, my childhood, you know. And the one thing that I do give to LL as an MC is he's so versatile. So he could come in with I Need Love.
So you skip up.
Okay, yeah. You're right. Correction. But no, he has...
I'm 1989 walking with the Panther.
Yeah, so he has, like, he comes with, like, I Need Love to some Your Mama Said Knock You Out to, you know, like, that whole, like, ladies lover type thing. Like, and then he comes out with this. This song, to me, was, it just proved how versatile he was. And it just made me, like, appreciate him a lot more. And at the time, you know, it was the 90s, so you had Motown, or not Motown, you had R&B, like, mixing in with hip-hop. And, like, you know, I always say, like, the baddest gangsters in the 90s still got down with, like, Boyz II Men, you know what I mean? And, like, that was the beauty of that time, especially that, like, I think that depicted that time where it was the fusion between those two genres, and it was a beautiful thing, you know? And the video was amazing. The girl was hot. You know, but the biggest impact that it had for me was we were in seventh or eighth grade. So we were getting into the realm of girls, and we were getting into the realm of sex. And that song in my head, I was like, this is the best song to have sex with. I wasn't having sex at that time, but I was like, you know, I was like, this is it, right?
Dude, on our lovemaking cassette tapes, man. Fuck yeah, dude, that's hilarious.
So yeah, I mean, no, and then eventually I got to the age where, you know, I was having sex, and that was one of the songs that we, you know, got down on. So, you know, that song in particular, LL impacted my life as an MC, but that song in particular had an
soundtrack impact. of our bedrooms. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah. Car rides on and to and from dates.
That's what it was.
You know what I mean? dude, that's so funny, man. I was a late bloomer into rap. And so when I started listening to the music, it was around ninth grade, right? And this album had just dropped. And so by this point, people are like, oh man, LL Cool J got a new album coming out. And so for me, this was like this was the introduction to LL Cool J. I'm sure in some kind of fashion I've heard, like, you know, I'm Bad or Knock You Out, you know, like, I'm sure I had heard it, but this was the first time I was like, I'm coming home, get on BET to watch this video, right? Like, and see this really, really, this record that just at the time I hear this song and it makes me think of specific people. Right.
Yeah.
And it makes me think of specific people in a specific time period in my life. Right. And I think for a lot of people that are watching the show can relate to that. Right. Like, I mean, the whole thing where he's like, last week I saw you at the mall. Like that was
our life.
That might be a bygone era. I don't know if people are still doing that. But man, we used to, like, as a crew, we'd like what? Go to the wall, Sam Goody, go get the records, go see the movie. You know, wander, you know, where else to go? Just wander around the mall.
Security would break us.
Yeah, we were gang modules. Yeah. How many people was it?
I think, like, it was like three or more.
If you had more than six or seven,
something like
that. And we used to roll like 10, 12 deep. Like we would go into the mall and they would be like, you have to split up because you look like a gang.
So we walk
literally, like, sides. Yeah, both sides of the mall.
The hallway.
Going forward, screaming across it. Like, it helped so much in making people feel more secure. You know what I mean? Like we were more obnoxious in that fashion.
How many hours did we spend in the mall?
I don't know, man. I mean, at least a year of our lives.
So that line in particular.
The payphone,
yeah,
the bus stop,
yeah.
all the stuff he's talking about is really partial in that time frame when we were coming up, dude.
And look in the rearview mirror. Yeah, no, it's such a great song. And I give it its props because it's so, like, that song in particular, as well as other songs, but that song in particular made me, like, it taught me how to talk to girls.
Yeah.
You know,
taught me how to lighten up.
Taught me how to write poetry to girls.
Yeah.
Taught me how to, like, look into their eyes and talk about every single thing that I saw in the eyes, because LL came like that with this song. Like, he described, like, how it Like when I hear it, I'm like, I'm there. I'm in the, I'm like, I'm feeling that day. You know what I mean? Like, yes. Like it, the sun, everything. It's that day. And like, anytime I hear that song. Now, the other thing, I mean, like I said, I mentioned before, it's Boyz II Men.
We need to definitely give our props to Boyz II Men. At the time of this album release, Boyz II Men was at their,
yeah,
they were gigantic.
Yeah.
They had a new album coming out. That's the Four Seasons of Loneliness was coming.
Yeah.
This record was massive. For me, it was the first time I ever heard bass.
Mm.
And I didn't know people talk like that. I mean, like, I know before that, it was like some Barry White. Yeah. And all these cats existed. But it was my first time hearing somebody where it was just like, man, I can't tell you how many times I'd be on the phone with somebody. And I'd be like, talking to one of my girlfriends. Like, I'd just be like,
hey, what's up?
Yeah, man. Nah, just playing Nintendo.
Boyz II Boyz II Men and Old Cool J taught us.
Yeah, I, licking our lips every time.
Yeah.
What's up, girl?
Look, I ain't gonna lie, man. For the longest time, I had my pant leg up. Like, I ain't gonna lie, like, for reals, like,
yeah, that's how I roll. That's that New York shit.
Yeah, I was like, I sported it for like a year and a half.
I remember that, man. When we used to write raps, man, like, you would have one always roll up. I was wearing Adidas, man. Like, where the fuck were we? Yo, I love it, man. Yeah, this, and Boyz II Men, I mean, was just like, and this is the pinnacle of what was happening, because during that mid to late 90s. R&B, hip hop, and fusion became the record. Yeah. Like, if you wanted to put a hot record out, you had an R&B singer leading, or you were rapping, and you had the R&B singer on the hook.
I mean, even to this day, even that's like, still going. Like, I'll listen to like the old school R&B, like Twisted.
I was just listening to one that's it feels obscure now to me, but Mario.
Yeah.
I don't wanna know. Yeah, where he took the end of the Fugees meeting.
Yeah,
Puff Daddy. Yeah,
that's a good song. But even going back to like, anytime I hear like those like old school R&B hits, like in my head, I'm flowing. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, because the beats have it. Hook is already there.
It's already like I'm like flowing. I'm like SWV and all that. Boys, Mariah Carey, man, no, old dirty.
Oh, Mariah. Go back, line, baby, get past one. Oh, Dirt Dog.
I'm telling
you, that was a hot record.
That was the thing. As R&B with hip hop made such a fucking great combination, man.
Dude, I'm trying to think, man. I mean, because this is like off of the New Jack Swing era too, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, during the time, it was so category, and it's still to this day, like one of my favorite categories of music.
Oh yeah.
I mean, a lot. I have people that I know who are like, man, that was like bad music back in the day, and I'm like, dude, these people were singing blown pipes, making party records, and in-house, like, their own singers were rap. It wasn't features. Bell Biv DeVoe just had dude in the record. You know, Bobby Brown was just spitting at something.
And then you had, like, I mean, even later down the road, you had, like, people like TLC.
TLC's a great example, where they had just literally had an in-house act.
Yeah, and that's...
Shout out to Left Eye. That was one of my first crushes.
Yeah, no, definitely, man.
Love Left Eye.
And Herbie and Athena, you know, so but yeah, no, man, like, this song was, and so, I honestly, like, and this goes back to the sample here, okay? What people don't realize is that this sample was a famous sample from a famous person, but on that album, it was contending with more famous songs, right? So in my life,
you're talking about the Thriller album.
Yeah. But in my life, the first time that I heard this song was LL Cool J.
That was the first time I heard it too.
And then I was like, all right, let me check this sample out. Let me see where it goes. And then I was surprised it was Michael Jackson. I was like, whoa. You know what I mean?
Guy like that should have been suing LL Cool J.
Right. But what I'm saying is that, like, that's how I got to know, like, I didn't even know the sample through Michael Jackson.
Yeah. No, I understand completely, dude. Like, particularly with Michael Jackson, you know, I was, at the time, again, I was diving knee deep into rap. And at that age, there was a lot of identity, trying to figure yourself out. And so I was the guy who was walking around being like, well, I listen to rap music. I don't listen to anything else. I don't listen to none of that shit. I do rap music, I do some R&B, and that's it. That's it. It defines who I am as a person, you know? And so, like, I wasn't studying up on Michael Jackson. I had heard a lot of his records.
Mm.
I liked a lot of his records. I never really, like, talked about it because, you know, it was sort of like the dirty closet secret that I was listening to this other stuff. At the time, I was really twisted until I really got down with him and got to learn about the real, the branch out, and that it was okay. to really appreciate other categories of music, other genres. Like this was my tie-in. So yeah, I mean, the first time I heard that,
yeah,
was LL. But the sample itself has been used by Madheads. I mean, as recently as like Tyga or Mac Miller. But like,
I mean, and the thing is, people from all over have used this sample. Like, you have Texas using the sample.
Yes. Who was that? Trey?
That was Trey and Hawk. And you have, like, the, you know, New York, East Coast, LL Cool J.
But that's the biggest, obviously.
And then
Three Six Mafia.
There was Bone.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's, like, the midway. Everybody had their version of this song.
Tech N9ne did it.
Tech N9ne
used it. I forgot who was featured on the record.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's such a great sample. And each one of these songs, like,
they did significantly different. There's like your love making,
right?
Porno,
right?
You're camping down the street, smoking, getting high. Yeah,
smoking, getting high.
Who was that one? Was that Project Pat, Gangsta Pat?
No, that was Gangsta Pat. Yeah, that was Gangsta Pat. Yeah,
dude, crazy. Yeah, see, this song, did you hear how many names were dropping though? Suicide Boys, like, there's mad heads that use this one sample, but LL Cool J and Boys to Men were the ones that looked that up.
They solidified it. I mean, just having Boys to Men into it, it just made it, it's put it on a different level. It's not,
those guys could sing, dude.
Yeah, it's not Texas rap, it's not this rap, it's not this rap. Now it's
R&B.
Now it's R&B, which is going back to its roots, which is Michael Jackson.
And like, you know, like I said, this is one of the first albums I had really purchased with my own money. The first time I was really, so in this back in the day where, like, you know, my money was tight.
Money.
So when I got an album, man,
yeah,
I listened to that. I listened to that, whether I liked it or not. Like, however I felt about it, I was like, man, just put it in a Walkman and be on the bus and just play this thing on loop, dude. So this is one, and this was my first LL Cool J album. And, you know, Hey Lover is just like, you know, kind of romantic thing. I was big on like the gangster West Coast stuff and the hardcore East Coast stuff eventually, maybe around this time. I'm not sure.
But that's like, don't get me wrong, I agree with him. But I was very into East Coast hardcore shit.
You were there before I was.
But both of us can look at this song and be like, this song's amazing.
And it's cool because the album itself has several types of this song, right? You got, you know, Doing It Well, where it's a little more raunchy.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be lounging without love. It's like smooth, cool.
Dun, dun, dun.
But then he's got records like, you know, like hip hop where he's like dedicating culture. He's got a record like I Shot You, which is like hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, that's just
metaphor shit, like with Hollis to Hollywood.
And that's all skills. This is all different type.
No airplay. When I was re-listening to it, it's one of those records I kind of always skipped over because I just didn't really dig like the hook or the beat that much at the time. But I was listening to it today and it dawned on me, motherfucker did a one take on that. There's no editing in that. Like, he just did a one take, and he made it clear at the beginning, and I just never put it together.
Yeah,
at the very beginning, he's like, "Well, you just want me to go through the whole thing, through the hook and everything." All right, give me a second. When you listen to the, it's raw audio, and so I have such a different appreciation for that song, and of course, the talents of LL Cool J.
Well, this just goes to show, like, the point. It's like he's got Who Shot You, which is one of the like
hardest records.
It's one of the hardest records, but it's also one of the most like heard record in the hip hop canon of hip hop songs.
Any radio show where people go on to do a freestyle?
Any
a Shot You probably.
Any of them. And you see how LL is loved and respected throughout. You can go to the Lovey Dovey, you can go to the Underground MCs, you can go to the hard, Mama Said Not.
Old school cats to new school cats.
Exactly.
He this was almost like a formula. Once Phenomenon comes up,
yeah.
And he's got 4-3-2-1 on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got Method Man and Red Man, yeah. But then he's got cats like DMX, it was like, I believe that was his breakout.
Yeah.
Before his solo stuff.
Yeah.
You got Cannabis.
Of course. And that's
Master P, who was huge at the time.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole Cannabis thing, that's also a different story.
That's a whole other podcast.
But that,
we probably should do a Remember the Record battle
right
one day.
But that goes also to show you he's a battle rapper.
Yeah, by then he had already crushed like mad head.
I always have, and I feel like the gods of hip hop should punish me. Please forgive me. I never really put LL as my, you know, top five, but I will have to say that he is definitely, because he's not the guy I always go to listen to, but he's the guy that has gone through generations of hip hop and then not been irrelevant.
And radio.
And
film.
And
TV.
And he is.
And book.
And he still represents.
And podcast.
The real hip hop in his, you know, the series.
And radio.
And
festivals.
Yeah, the Rock the Bells.
The Bells is massive.
I love the Rock the Bells festivals, man. Like, those are the best festivals ever.
We went to one and got the fucking straight up, like, kicking with, I mean, we were right there in front with Wu-Tang. I was there with Slaughterhouse. I got to hang out with, like, guys, like Idea.
What's crazy is that we went, but we didn't go together.
No.
We didn't know.
And we didn't even find each other either. That was the funniest part, dude. I was rolling with one homie. He was rolling with a homie. There was a couple other cats that we knew that I bumped into them, too. Papers, a couple other cats. But
I ran into them, my ex, Megan.
That was the festival, for anybody who knows my backstory, that was the festival I almost got into a fight with the Wu-Tang
this
Clan.
With this fucking guy.
No, and that's, I mean, look, you want to hear that story, you know, type it in the comment section. We talked about that some other day.
One last thing, mad props to LL for all this.
LL Cool J is hard as hell. I want to quickly just do a quick drop on the music video. We can talk a little bit about that. I know we're good. We've got plenty of time to talk.
Yeah.
But the video was released, again, October 31st. It was the same day as the single, 1995. Directed by Hype Williams.
Boy, Halloween?
October 31st, bro.
Wow.
Isn't that weird? Like, you're a fan at the beginning of the year?
Or February
14th. Because back then, records sold in store.
Yeah, that's true.
Big records, they came out September, October, November, December, right? Like, because that's when people were getting Christmas presents. That's when people were shopping.
Yeah.
That's when the money was around. The video opens with this golden key necklace, right? Which, this is my own personal input here, most likely a metaphor for a key to his heart. I guarantee that's what that's about. LL Cool J's driving around Farmers Boulevard, Queens. That's his stopping grounds. Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, spots a girl who was the girl, chef's kid.
Forget about it.
Jillian Ileana Waters. We've seen this lady in Martin, Malcolm and Eddie, Wayne's Bro, Wayne's Brother Show.
I didn't know any of this.
She was in How to Be a Player.
Huh.
With Bill Bellamy. Jackie Brown, she was in Jackie Brown, dude. Yeah. This girl, who I only remember as that chick from Hey Love, right? She's been in watched all of this. Yeah. That's the part that's really crazy. But LL develops a crush on her. You know, he sees her at the bus stop, the mall, payphone. He starts fantasizing of them being together, traveling the world, making love, making out with ice cream, swimming in the ocean. He walks around in the cut when he sees her. He imagines her while he's working out. Sees her when he's looking at himself in the rearview mirror.
Smoking too many blunts.
That's one of my favorite ones. Rapping from the top of his car while Boyz II Men, they're singing the hook in the streets. You know what I mean? Like, it's such a good music video. And it's such a 90s video, too.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's an awesome video.
I do love it, dude. It's definitely the times, man.
Nostalgic. The way they shot it, I think they have, like a fuzziness to some of the shots.
Particularly when he's like driving, like do this thing, when they're like, they're trying to like fix the focus.
Yeah.
Hype Williams, gee, dude. Like that guy's done a lot of good stuff.
No, that's why, I mean, that video, that is very nostalgic.
And it captures like just life in New York, life in a lot of people's lives, man. I mean, so much of that in a very different scenario, it still fits like that whole driving around the bus stop. We were doing all that right here in Virginia.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, I just really do. It captures a specific moment, and every time I hear it, I think of specific people.
Mm-hmm.
How about some highlighted lyrics? You got some favorite bars in there?
I mean, there's parts that stick out, because I smoke, right? But I go to the gym.
That's my very first one, dude. You only knew him 5 months. That's right. Besides, he drinks too much. He smokes too many blunts.
So every time I'm at the gym, I think of this stupid line. I'm like, I smoke once and I'm fucking in the gym, man. So I couldn't say one specific, because
it's just the whole vibe of the whole thing. It's the vibe of it.
Yeah, like you listen to it, you're like, okay, that's tight, that's tight, that's tight. Every bar is tight. It's not.
He has a genius writing style. When you listen to some of the bars, each verse, there's this part where he's like, no pretend, but.
Yeah.
And he does it, and it's just this one line at the exact same spot, each verse. Like, it's definitely constructed as a pop song because you remember these these patterns. And he does it in every single one of the verses. I think that and how he ends each one is very much very similar, very and conversational and just like genuine.
And we're writers. Yeah. So like when we break it down, like he's doing it.
We pick up the technical stuff.
It is. It's very like what he's saying is correct. Like there is a process and he figured it out and it's amazing.
Still, oh man, of course, you know, and this is teenage love, right? Still, he can't stop me from having daydreams, tongue in the down, vanilla ice cream. yo, along with the dude, he's on all of his songs, right?
The licking the lips and like the let me
take off my shirt. It's time for me to take my shirt off. Where in the video should I take off my shirt? Or should I just come in without my shirt on?
Sometimes like ice cream dripping down his
sweat. His masculinity dripping down his body. Oh God, he was a pimp.
With his chain.
The chain. Dude, man, ladies of cool day. Yeah. Swimming in time. So this is a great bar here. And the reason why I really like this one is like you were talking about how we're writers, right? So he's like swimming in the timeless currents of pure bliss. Fantasies and the change in with each kiss. When you hear this, man, like this is poetry. Like if I were writing something to a lady,
this is why I said what I said because
100%.
It taught me how to make poetry
instead of just being like, I like your body. Yeah, you think you're beautiful. I want to take you.
That's easy.
We're talking about swimming in the timeless currents of pure bliss. Like yeah. It's forever. Happiness,
you know.
That's what we are doing together.
It's
such an image.
That's but that goes to LL just in general, like in all of us.
He does. He's got like almost like it's. I want to say like a spiritual side point.
He does. Mm-hmm. It's not.
He talks about like you know heavens and the mountains and the skies and like and a lot of his references you hear sound biblical.
Yeah, I mean even like. Bad or mama said knock you out. You're like
both of those.
You're like, no, that's the Old Testament. you know what I'm saying? Like that's the Old Testament.
Walking at the crossroads on the most like hated album that he ever put out, most slept on.
And then there's another one of those songs later down the road. I think it's called War. Man, like the way he goes on that song, like it's a different album.
Oh,
like,
it's time for War.
Yeah,
the opening record.
Yeah, man. God damn.
14.
I want to say it might have been 14.
What the hell was the name?
God damn. See, that's what I'm talking.
Bang. And that was one of his more recent ones. Yeah, 10. It was 10, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No, Exit 13, dog. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. That was 2008 when that came out.
That I mean, and you're like, okay, you to me as a person who listened to him back in the 80s to 2008 then when that came out.
Time for War. Yeah,
I'm like, yo, he has not fell off. He's just
got everything about
him. Yeah, he's just gotten better and better as time. He is an OG. He's GOAT, man. He's rock him, Big Daddy Kane, LL, man. Like I have to put him in the thing now because
he has mastered the recipe of longevity. And the way he did it is if you listen to each record individually, right? It sounds like a product of that time.
Yeah, yeah.
With the LL Cool J flair, the gruff battle stuff, the smooth player stuff, but also like again bringing out the old school heads and mm-hmm. bringing them together with the new school or the pop heads of the time, right? Mm-hmm. People from his camp, from the New York camp and the Def Jam camp, like coming together. But also, like, again, like, evolving with what was hot in the moment, like right?
Adapting.
So, like, what was it after? Was it the definition? But personally, and my least favorite record by LL Cool J, because this was that era, and I remember this era vividly, because it was a time where music just, for me, felt really stagnant, because everything, once Lil Jon came out and started doing all that crunk stuff, and people were making, and at the same time, was it house music? Dance hall started coming back and like coming into fruition, right? Like all of this club music became hyper popular. And so this whole album, The Definition, that's the album that has everybody get your head sprung. Up in the club.
But see, that to me.
But that's him surviving.
But see, I know, but that to me started with Phenomenal.
He started getting, he was very, very comfortable in Phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I still really fuck with
it. It's a good one. And you know, it's
actually, I like that one.
And no, but look, it actually that harkens back to old school to Grandmaster Flash,
yeah,
and the Furious Five, where in I think it's White Lines, where he says something like I'm a fanatic, like something like a
fanatic. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's something like a fanatic.
Yeah, White Lines.
When White Lines.
Yeah,
and he took that and turned that into this really sexy.
Yeah.
Like just
yeah,
yeah. I don't know how to describe it.
It's just LL. Man.
It's kinky.
Yeah.
It's hard hitting.
It's LL. But,
and the whole time he's just basically whispering shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the only one who can pull that off like that. You.
Like the whole thing, I'm gonna talk
a phenomenon. like,
well, the hook is the phenomenon, yeah, something yeah. Not phenomenon. But then when it gets into the verse, I'm gonna talk to the real cool baby like that. Man, I'm a as a dude, you're just like, yeah, get it, going home tonight with somebody.
Dap.
Oh shit, hello, busy man. Definitely, February music.
That's something that nobody knows because they can't see. But this whole time, like, I've been fidgeting around, and I got a fucking pant leg up right now, man. it's not even something that I realized. But I just was like, oh shit, I got it up.
Yeah, gotta hold it down for LL Cool J, dude.
Did you ever get into a show?
I didn't watch it, man.
It's actually a good show.
And what's the one that he's big on now? Is it NCIS that he got?
Oh no, this is the sitcom one. He's like,
I know it was like a Fresh Prince.
That was his
show.
It was good.
I forgot what the name of that show was. What was the name of the show?
I don't remember the name, but it was a good show.
And for podcast trying to drop all this knowledge, man. Like we sleeping on some of his shit, aren't we? But that's my point.
And toys.
Dude, I don't give a fuck what anybody says, dude. That was my favorite shit. That was my favorite shit. One, I've been a Robin Williams fan for my entire life. I was Ropey and R.I.P. I mean, I cried the day
that R.I.P. for reals.
I cried the day that man.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He was a good guy.
But his portrayal as this military son. I don't like it. And there was this one part that I related to so hard. He's in the mess hall eating, and he's like, don't like my food's fucking touching. Like, I need a barrier for my mashed potatoes so that the peas don't infiltrate my mashed potatoes. And it was like very serious, but I'm like, dude, I completely don't like it when my food's touching. I want that three plate. I want that split plate. I don't want my shit touching. Unless it's designed to be like that, I don't want it touching.
It's going to invade it.
So good. I want my peas infiltrating my mashed potatoes.
Listen, for some of you all that haven't watched Toys, don't know what we're talking about.
It is such a movie of its time.
It is such a movie of its time. Like, look, it's not a bad movie, but it's not a good movie.
I think for as much as we love it, I think a lot of people would be like, what the fuck?
Hey, it's LL, man. It's LL. That's all I can
say. You got Robin Williams, you got LL, you got Cusack's sister in there.
Yeah, something Cusack.
Yeah, Cusack.
Jennifer Cusack.
It's John Cusack's sister.
I know, but is it Jennifer?
I feel awful, man. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful. Well, on a record like this, man, it's all about the ladies. Shit. Hey, and if anybody has any kind of like vibes where they feel like this is like predatorial, misogynistic, don't get it twisted, man. This is a thing that everybody does. Everyone at some point has driven, stopped at a stoplight, and seen somebody walk by and just go, wow, that's an attractive person. You know what I'm saying? And all LL's talking about is thinking about this girl like that he saw. He's developed a crush. He doesn't say I figured out that she's on a bus, so I just go over to the bus and I start seeing her every morning at the bus. He spots her when he's out. He sees her at the mall. He sees her on that payphone. He doesn't go sniffing her out. He's talking about wanting to marry her. He's talking about wanting to
marry her. It's a very romantic
song. It's a romantic record.
Romantic song.
And people get it twisted in this. And today, look, I'm not trying to go into this super heavy, but no bullshit. Ain't the record. This isn't the one.
It had to be said, and we don't want to get into it as much, but I agree with my boy here. LL is not the person to do that to.
There's plenty of people that are out there that do it on purpose too. Shout out to my boys like Cage, Eminem, where they have records that are intentionally shocking for that. But that's also with the intent. I mean,
and then LL is also
that's a love song, dude.
He's a LL is ladies love. I mean, it is what it is. Like, it's in his name. This has always been LL, and to be honest, it's some of his magic, and. I understand, there's a difference between this, that, and the other, but this isn't that.
this isn't the record for it, man.
I don't know why.
I just wanted to put that on. I know it's a very serious issue, and I know it's something that's really taboo and controversial, rather. Not taboo, but it's controversial. But this isn't the record. I don't believe so. I mean, everyone can interpret anything how they want to, but this isn't it.
I mean, if you interpret, that's all I'll say. You can interpret that as something predatorial and interpret slap on my nut. Like, call it, I mean, come on.
Great record.
Like, yeah, like,
but it's like you can't, it's juvenile, mm-hmm. and it's you know, it's meant to be.
Make me so horny.
You know what I mean? Like, both records are not meant to be like ways of life. They're definitely products of their time, but they're just you can't help but like giggle.
Yeah, and again, one last thing that I'm gonna say is LL never taught me to be predatorial. He taught me to be romantic.
Yeah, he taught me to be romantic. He taught me how to write. He taught me how to talk to girls. Yeah. So. Or at least I thought I was trying to pretend so hard. Hey, what's up, baby? I'm telling you, man. Man, I used to have people that would be like, man, you have such a cute... You sound so, like, hot on the phone. I'd be like, do I, baby?
Do I, baby? And then you lick your lips.
Yeah. Like, smile. Make sure you... When you smile...
They know.
They can see you smile through the phone. They know. They can see you smile through the phone. Yo, that's so funny, huh? What about if you got I Need Love? So that's the breakout romance record for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which I heard after. And
you heard that
for sure. I was late to it, so Hey Lover was the first one for me. Mm-hmm. And when I hear I Need Love, it was like so over the top the way it was done, with the way that beat is, and even at the end, the way he's flowing it, yeah. Like he's literally like writing a love letter or a poem to somebody, right? And at the ending, he's like, I love you, girl,
you know,
I miss you, I'm waiting for you. It's a super, like, a super teenage lovey-dovey, but like. I don't know.
It makes me wonder if that was around the same time that Teenage Love came out.
I'd have to check that out too, man.
I think it might have.
That's probably a Remember the Record coming up, dude. We might reserve that for another romance.
That song. Oh my god.
That one melts your heart.
And there's stories.
It's just so relatable.
The story.
So relatable. Well, so we're getting close, and I know that we're going to probably go in depth about some of this. So I want to get into the games real quick. Unless you got any last comments about the record. Nah.
I mean, just that it's overall one of the greatest records.
Watch the video, peep the record, you know, and we'll get into that at the ending of this. But let's get into some of these games real quick. All right, so real fast, we're going to start off with singles only, right? Aside from the hit single, Hey Love, all right, what other chart-topping single is your favorite by LL Cool J and Y? Now, I wish you screenshot this. If you could put this on here, check this out. You ready for this? 59 singles in over four decades. 59 singles in over four decades. Which one's your favorite? And these are the singles.
There are so many.
Not the record from Mr. Smith.
No, right. They're the singles.
The singles. What's the biggest? What's your favorite record he ever put out?
Wow. Man, all right, one right off the top of my head that I absolutely love is, but this ties into another one. I'm the type of guy.
That's such a good one,
man. And it's such a simple rhyme scheme, but it's so like, and the beat, oh my god,
I love it.
And then of course,
that was Panther, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, going back to Cali.
Well, you sing it. You're singing the Biggie version right now, dude. I'm going back to Cali.
I don't think so. See, and that when I heard the Going Back to Cali by Biggie, I was like, I know what's up.
Yeah.
I know what's up.
And honestly, because that was such, during the time when that record came out, that was the big East Coast, West Coast thing going on. It was Biggie's olive branch to be like, I got love for West Coast. It does this straight up like West Coast bounce, right?
Yeah.
But he throws in the hook.
Yeah.
Classic East Coast, right? Like, and he does that, I think, with brilliant intent.
And then, there's just so many, man, that I couldn't. I mean, then you got the Boomin' System.
Oh, yeah. Selling Boomin' System. Dude. That's one of the older ones, too.
And then, of course,
from the older shit, I mean, Rock the Bells is like, I'm bad.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm bad as the record. That beat, my hat is like a shark's fin. That whole shit. He had a whole record designed off of that one line.
But see, for me, I like Big Old Butt.
Dude, fucking big old butt. She had a big old booty.
She got a big old butt.
I thought I told you I'd be true. No, that's such a hilarious.
And the way he approached me, like,
I'd be hard pressed I would be foolish personally if I didn't say Mama said knock you out.
Mama said knock you out. But
Mama said knock you out is my favorite. That beat, man. Don't call a comeback.
Man,
the video's stupid.
Video, man.
It's like just boxing. Yeah, it's black and white. Yeah. It's hard.
Which harkens to a little future. You know, this is foreshadowing the battle between the Cannabis.
Like, I mean, well, Knock You Out was about Kumo D, right?
Yeah, it was about, but it was.
So this was a battle record,
right? But the boxing aspect of.
Oh,
it,
yeah, because then Cannabis comes back around with second round knockout, and that's definitely what he's referencing.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, so Mama said knock you out. Well, I got him in the second round.
Yeah,
because
he's in the boxing ring.
And LL was the one that first drew blood.
Right.
On 4-3-2-1, right? He said he's dissing Cannabis on that. Cannabis comes back.
And then honestly, like, I mean, it's not one of his singles, but I think he rips it in that song where it's the one with Be Real, the one with Busta Rhymes, the going straight to the hole.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that in a moment in verses for sure. Yeah. That record is so fucking great.
Yeah.
LL was like a prime master of these giant posse cuts, which is why we had to mention it in the verses. Because again, in his formula, he's dropping this. Several albums, like one after the other, he's got these group cuts. But when the soundtracks would come out, he would hop on those too.
Yeah,
Hit 'Em High is so good, dude. I don't give a shit.
Man, I mean, it's such a Bugs Bunny movie, but man, dude, that song.
No, shout out to Bugs Bunny and Looney Tunes.
Hey, Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes are the shit.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit. I don't care.
I don't care if they had guns. Like, I don't care if Speedy Gonzalez was Mexican and manner. I don't care. That shit.
Skunk chasing around the lady.
Yeah, that shit was tight.
It was fucking unadulterated child wholesome goodness.
Yes.
Man. I don't care what anybody says. No, I love Looney Tunes.
No, but yeah, I mean, there's just so many, man. I mean, you see how many there are.
It's the same. I mean, we could pick one for each era. I mean, I think in the 80s, I'm going with I'm Bad. Personally, you named a couple others. I'm going with Mama Said.
Okay, so let's do that. The 80s, I'm gonna go for I'm the Type of Guy. It's just my shit.
Yeah.
Okay, for 90s, see,
that's
like,
tough, man.
It's really hard.
You got Flavor in Your Ear is a massive hit. That Lounger remix with Toto is a huge hit. Dude, I love that song. I was just listening to that recently too, dude.
Yeah, man. Like,
dude, that still goes in, man. I love that era of like R&B rap, like that. Those beats, like, it's all like that. But yeah, for me, it's got it.
And what's the other one that Round the Way Girl?
Oh,
man, with that, she like sucking on a lollipop.
let me kiss the belly button.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, man. Yeah. Like, we LL taught us so much.
And now 2000s is harder because, like, we were listening to him, but we weren't.
Yeah.
We weren't as on point with LL at this point. He has a lot of great records. And for me, it's a real easy Shut Him Down.
I would have to say Shut Him Down.
That beat goes hard. He's rhyming at this rapid speed that he does.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I was like, what? This, I even called that hook him up
where he's like screaming.
I called him up and was like, yo. Is this LL?
Yeah. He was double time on, triple timing it on that one, and that was a hot record. And then I guess in 2010s, you know, once again, this is like an era for me where I wasn't super hard up on it.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the era where like Accidental Racist pops up with Brad Paisley.
Yeah, like I don't know much of these.
I really don't either, man.
Like, I couldn't tell you. But I mean, that's one, two, three, four
decades, 59
four decades.
I mean, and what was interesting to me while collecting and curating this list, I was a little shocked to see that there wasn't anything in the 20s, 2020. He's just been making like as singles.
Oh yeah, his shows.
Man. He's been doing his thing, man.
And you know, mad props to him, and he's doing the I mean, he's got Rock the Bells, which is his thing, you know. So.
Yep, he's also, yeah, he's got a podcast, he's got his radio channel,
yeah,
he's got the festivals, and he's got network shows,
and
movies.
And I know for a fact that he had something to do with part of the opening of the Hip Hop Museum in New York. You know what I mean? We still have to make a pilgrimage.
We'll make that pilgrimage. When we do, we'll share any of that footage up here.
But man, again, I'm telling you, LL is just a phenomena. That's the best I can say.
So into game two, we're going to do the deep cut. Now, this is off of the Mr. Smith album, all right? Aside from the songs that garnered chart positions in our music videos, what is your favorite record off of Mr. Smith? And your options are Mega Hot, Hip Hop, Life As, Mr. Smith, No Airplay, Lounge in the Original. That's the one that's got that I'll Be Sure Night and Day sample, not the other one. Polis to Hollywood, God Bless, Get the Drop on Him, I Shot You, the Original, Papa Love It, which was a bonus on the deluxe. There was a bunch of other records, but those are the records.
So for me, I have to say, like, I like the remix of Loungin'. Okay.
Yeah, but the original.
The original, I'm not
because the remix was a single, yeah. And the I Shot You remix was a single.
Yeah, I'm not really feeling that, but I am from. I just wanted to point that out. I do like the remix. I don't like the original that much.
The original is not nearly
as good. Yeah, but
it's cool, but it's not. It is not Loungin' at all.
But for me, it would have to go either between A Shot You and Hip Hop. But I will lean more for Hip Hop because the way he come. And I like the hardness of I Shot You. Don't get me wrong, but I like the
come the, a song,
yeah,
walk to me.
Yeah, but I like the educational
and a rapper alive.
I like the educational like aspect of hip hop, like bringing back to talking about how it was, how it is, bringing himself in it. Like it was for me as a lover of hip hop, that just was the cherry on top.
So once again, one of the first albums I bought, right? And when you met me, I was pretty versed in hip hop already, and a lot of that has to do with this song, because what was I getting out of it? Whole time listening to the record, I'm writing down names.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, who are these people? Yeah. Heavy D, who is this? Wu-Tang, let's find out about that. And NWA, Eazy-E's in here. Like when you hear all this stuff, it's like, all right, now it's time to go and find these records, right?
Yeah.
Because I really fuck with LL Cool J. I really love this album and I love this record.
Right.
These guys have to be good.
Yeah.
He's validated for them. He vouched for these people. He's vetted them. I'm gonna check them out, and that's because of that record is one of the reasons why my catalog went from just gangster rap to just a little bit of this pop stuff to all this other shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, hip hop is that's a huge
that's my song. I mean,
I love that song.
I
they did a great job with that.
Not to say that I just I don't want to say that everything else sucks in that album because it doesn't, but that's my favorite song, hip hop.
Dude, I think what he did with Hollis to Hollywood.
This is what I'm saying.
He's doing all the movie references. And the thing, now I went back and recently listened to it, and I will say, because it's such a specific time period, a lot of the movies that he's referencing are dated.
Yeah, obviously.
Like he's rapping about virtuosity.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time anybody mentioned virtual? No offense to virtuosity. Dude, I like virtuosity.
That's a type.
The actors are G's. Yep, and like, this today,
yep.
Those are names that are way the hell up there, yep. Right? But I'm just saying, like that movie didn't necessarily stand the test of time. So some of the references there are a little dated. I still really like that record, but I Shot You is just that beat.
I Shot You is the hardest song.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, hip hop and Make It Hot, the way that album opens,
yeah,
is such an LL Cool J record.
Now that's true.
I got that's, the bud,
that huh. Is true. That's true.
We like fam, roll a lot, brothers. It is such an LL Cool, and you don't stop. Like you got the lady singing on the hook.
Yep. No, but see, for me, it's just
told you
it's hip hop just as a fact of what it is.
Yeah,
like it just and then, like you said, it taught you. You know what I mean? And like I love songs that are like that.
Yeah,
you know, from all. Not, I mean, from LL, but any artist that does songs like that, it's fucking tight, Like
you start picking up books because of people. You start watching certain movies because of people. You know, these references mean, like, hearing the samples and then discovering those artists like Michael Jackson and then discovering their catalog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and Michael Jackson's got to be one of my favorite artists, eternal, right? Like, and the music is undeniable.
Just Leave Me Alone.
Oh my God, I love Just Leave Me
Alone. That's a great song.
That's a perfectly fitted one.
Yeah,
for its time.
Yeah.
So now we're gonna get into the verses. We only got about 9 minutes, and I know that this is where the conversation can get a little interesting.
Let me do one. I have one for you.
You're gonna hit me with a first time, episode 4.
First timer.
He's gonna try and get me.
Now this is a little broad, but you know I want to include Boys to Men, so.
Important. I mean, if it wasn't for Boys to Men, I don't think that record would be what it is.
The question,
you know what I'm saying?
The question is appropriate to LL Cool J as well. And we talked about this earlier, but what is the better record to make love to?
R&B?
The LL Cool J song that we got right here, or I'll Make Love to You?
Oh, shit. I'll Make Love
to You. Now, see, I go with LL.
So the problem is this. Here's the argument. Because I've made my own mixtape.
Speed.
You know what I'm saying?
Speed in motion.
You're so funny, dude. The problem with I'll Make Love to You, certain individuals
make love to
you. They hear it in the background and they're laughing a little bit and we're having a good time. I have been with some ladies where when that song is happening, where they burst out laughing and they're like, I'm sorry, can you please change? I can't make love to you while there's somebody screaming, I'll make love to you. It's silly. You know, but it is baby making music. So I've been with women where they're just, it's a part of it and they giggle, like, oh yeah, I'll make love to you. And we're doing it. And then there's other people that are just like,
no.
You're making me feel ridiculous.
Listen, the woman have no say in this.
This is already got the tape.
This is you.
We already got the tape.
This is you.
I was doing it because that's the soundtrack. I'll Make Love to You sounds like it's a clip from a 90s like movie.
It has to go with, but I go with LL.
It's definitely a chiller song. It's definitely more romantic.
It's more slower. I need a little bit more action.
Yeah, we need time.
Motion.
So we start off with that one.
Or end it.
Or end with it.
Or end.
But I'll Make Love to You is right in the middle of it. And then doing it is like right at the tail end.
Yeah.
When we're just getting bit.
Doing
that's a,
do
that's
it. Hilarious. Do it. It's like the motion of the ocean. So there you go. That was my.
That's hilarious. I didn't expect that at all, dude. That's a great question, dude. Great, great verse. All right. So my first verses. This is gonna be tough, I think. At least it's narrowing it down to two. 80s LL Cool J versus 90s LL Cool J.
Boom.
80s includes Radio, Bigger and Deafer, Walking with a Panther versus 90s. Mama Said Knock You Out, 14 Shots at the Dome, Mr. Smith, the Phenomena. What's the better LL Cool J?
80s.
How fucking hard is that?
80s. I go with 80s.
You're going 80s?
Go 80s.
I
go 80s.
It's hard, man.
It's extremely hard. It's extremely hard.
There's so many old school records from the 80s that are just dope. But if somebody were to be like, all right, give me to start spitting, I need a beat. I'm stuck.
Yeah.
I'm stuck.
Yeah. Well,
hey, can you do the verse from Hit 'Em High? I'm jumping right into that. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Lover, I'm jumping. You know, that flaming.
Yeah.
That's the hard part. It's like, as far as and I also got introduced in the 90s, right? So when I first experienced LL Cool J, this was the new hot shit.
See, I think that's where it is. I got introduced in the 80s.
So I got to buy it.
In the 90s. But he's
and
got
you gotta buy it.
But he's got a point, though. He does have a point. But at the same time, it's like, I mean, Mama Said Knock You Out. I need love.
No, Mama Said Knock You Out came in 90. That was 91, 92. Because he got the Grammy. That was 92.
Okay, well, still bad. Like,
so in the 80s, you got Radio, Bigger and Deafer, which, I mean, these are, and Walking with a Panther, all great records.
Walking with a Panther is my introduction.
So that's your Mr. Smith.
Yeah, that is my Mr. Smith. So that,
and I discovered 14 Shots of the Dome later. Like, I knew the record singles, but I never listened to the album. And it's so, like, of the time.
But see, now I'm like 90s, man. I'm like,
see, it's tough, right? What do you guys think, man? Is it 80s or 90s? What LL Cool J is better? That's tough, right?
That is extremely tough because I mean,
but you're going 80s, I'm going 90s.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna
stand your ground, dude.
I'm gonna go 80s. I am.
But when this is all said and done, I got the Spotify playlist going on. I got every single that's available on Spotify.
This fucking guy got everything.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's there, and you can be the judge of it. Listen to those records. I got them in chronological order. All the singles.
Like, I might have to, listen to that playlist.
It's a great list. It's a big list. I mean, 59 fucking singles, man.
Put me in a better situation here. Yo, that's the question.
That's hard, right?
Yeah.
I knew, like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. All right, so I got two more, and I know we got to get to final words. 80s. All right, so now we're going to do the posse cuts. What is the better posse cut? We got Flavor in Your Ear. That's Craig Mack with Notorious B.I.G., Rampage, Busta Rhymes. We got Hit 'Em High with B Real, Coolio, Method Man, and Busta Rhymes. And then we got 4-3-2-1 with Method Man, Red Man, Cannabis, DMX, and Master P, which is the best record of the three. Fucked up question.
It is fucked up.
Like picking your children.
I'm going to have to go just because it's me and my past and my background with, you know, the Hit 'Em High.
Hit 'Em High, right? God, that's such a great record.
It's good. I feel like all of them come with energy, but there's like a different energy.
I think so. With all three of them, it's major different. Yeah. Right? Like with the Craig Mack Flavor in Your Ear, outside of Busta being that character.
Busta, right.
And both of the songs that he's on.
Yeah.
But like outside of him, they're all like kind of like cocky. Mm-hmm. There's swagger and Flavor in Your Ear. Whereas
there's like
Hit 'Em High, it's like an animated.
Well, it's that, but there's like an individualist to you know, the other song that's Hit 'Em High is more like a team.
Yeah, they're the squad.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And they feel like they could have been a super group.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. It feels like maybe because they had the same jerseys or whatever, but it feels like more of a team when I listen to that as Flavor in Your Ear. Now, Flavor in Your Ear, I love Flavor in Your Ear, but gotta go.
But 4-3-2-1, dude. I mean, one, Method Man brings Red Man brings a nasty verse.
Yeah.
Master P was cool, but like Cannabis comes in.
But see, this is the thing, though.
DMX breakout record. This is the first time I ever hear this guy.
I mean, but listen.
Catch you with the dog, with the sun is out, run a clown. Like, this voice is like.
There's a couple things here that I have to say about all these artists, okay?
Oh, God.
Like, Master P, no. That's one.
We're doing
a hateration. All right, that's one reason. The other reason, I'm not a big fan of Red Man. All right. Third reason,
man. Don't.
Third reason.
Voice of him. Let's take off Red, not me.
Nah. Like, look. Red Man's not bad, but the only real person that I really fucks with in that song, besides L, is Method Man, and Cannabis.
You don't have DMX.
Okay, at the time, now let me explain this.
Blasphemy.
Let me explain this. All right. At the time, I was prepared to DMX as a rapper. I never liked that. I never thought I sounded like him.
I never caught that either.
But everybody's like, you sound like DMX.
Because you got that voice.
Because I got the voice. So I was just like, for the longest time, I'd be like, I kind of hated on DMX.
I rap fast, so I sounded like Bone Thugs and Harmony.
But you never.
You ever heard me freestyle over a Bone Thugs and Harmony beat,
but
I don't sound anything like that. A rap fan.
Right. And I got that energy that DMX has, but I don't have that.
There's nothing about anything, what you're talking about, how you're spitting, the way you're spitting.
But because of that comparison, like
so there was resentment.
I love DMX, but right. It's just at the time I was like, nah, that's why I go, because everyone on those on the Hit 'Em Low, Hit 'Em High, every one of them are
so bomb.
Yeah.
Every single one of them coolest shit.
Cannabis is tight too, man, but Cannabis.
That was actually not even my favorite. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
That was a breakout verse for him.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even, for me, it wasn't one of his best.
Yeah.
He had some dope lines, but
when you hear Cannabis' best compared to that,
there's nothing compared. Yeah. And also, I would argue that, you know, he got followed up by DMX.
Yeah.
When DMX came in, like, just the voice. More energy. It didn't even really matter what he's rapping.
More energy, right.
And I thought Method Man had a great fucking opening.
Method Man always comes.
Red Man had a great fucking verse, by the way.
By the way.
He spit until sperm come out your
book. I mean, it's just not me.
Fuck that.
Never big.
And LL Cool J came with, like, that inner battle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Besides LL.
It makes it hard. We're getting overtime.
All right, get out of here.
So I got one more because we got to do the closeouts before we burn the time frame here. So last one is the battle argument. We got Kumo D, How You Like Me Now, and Mama Said Knock You Out versus Cannabis Second Round Knockout and The Ripper Strikes Back. What are the better set of songs? What's the better set of battle?
See, it's interesting the question because I like Mama Said Knock You Out.
It's the best record.
Right. But I like the battle between Cannabis and L, but I don't like LL's battle against
Cannabis.
Cannabis.
Well, I think Cannabis got him on it.
Yeah, and I think
I liked LL Cool J shit. A lot of people really kind of gave him shit for that.
I don't hate it, but
that beat is hot.
I don't hate it, but it was just like Cannabis was like, okay, that's Cannabis. But it's like, I would, if he came with Mama to Knock You Out to Cannabis,
I don't think he would have. Well, I mean, honestly, because of how direct Cannabis came with it, doing a record like Mama to Knock You Out wasn't going to do it.
That would have been a great boxing fight.
Oh, for sure. But like, what I'll say is this, man. I think that the Kumo D and Mama Said Knock You Out, I think those are better songs.
Yeah.
And it was during an era when people battled, they weren't just like, I'm in your fucking face and I'm talking directly to you about some shit. Like who had the hotter record?
Yeah.
And there would be little jabs that like you knew so that you knew it was about them, right? I mean, Kumo D was a little more direct for sure. But I think also LL came out on top of that. Yeah. Mama Said Knock You Out.
Yeah. Forget
an iconic
it.
Record.
Yeah.
But as far as a battle itself goes, Cannabis versus LL was the more
entertaining battle. That's an entertaining battle, yeah.
Which makes it hard to say which is better. Because there's two very different reasons why they are easily the best. You know what I'm saying?
True. That's the only thing I can say. Two different reasons why they're easily the best.
Yeah.
Like, that's the best I can say. Because I like that battle, but I don't like that battle. And I like the battle, but I don't like
it. Yeah, I hear what you're saying, dude. You understand what we're saying, man? It's good shit over here.
It is what it is.
Guys, we have to wrap it up. This is our final words and outro as we're running overtime at this point. Guys, you know, be sure to check out Johnny Warbucks Bandcamp. It's a party over here. And if you like the music that we've discussed here today, we've got Remember the Record for LL Cool J on Spotify, on Johnny Warbucks on Spotify. I have the song that we're talking about, the remix. I've got the songs that were sampled, the instrumental. I've got the rest of Mr. Smith, and then every single I could find on Spotify. It's all there, dude. It is a very long playlist.
Please give him props and listen to it because he spends time.
This one took some time. This is a 6-hour, 15-minute playlist, there guys. So this is one that you can just listen to for a hot minute. A lot of great history and a lot of good studying in here, man. Great music. So I recommend checking out the Remember the Record episode 4, LL Cool J, Johnny Warbucks, Spotify.
Yeah, man. And, you know, we got another podcast called The Rapper's Corner.
Rapper's Corner, baby.
Check that out. And, you know, Kalashnikov Red on any streaming junks platform out there. Kalashnikov Red. A lot of people have a problem with that. Just think AK-47, Kalashnikov Red.
Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, share, comment on this video, man. The more activity and more traction, the more people can hear this this podcast, and we'd love to get it out there for other people to listen to.
You guys, and please, like, write some comments down if you want to hear anything, you know, a record that, you know, we can cover.
Who do you guys think beat it on the verses, man? What's the better LL Cool J, 90s, 80s?
But it better
What's the better posse cut?
It better be good. Right?
What's the better lovemaking song?
All right, guys. Catch you later, man.
Oh, what are we doing next time?
Oh man, you know I
what month is that?
What month is it? The month just reminds me of green.
It's March, right?
It just reminds me of green. Great. I don't know why.
You got St. Patrick's Day.
Something. Yeah.
You got March Madness.
It's green. I don't know.
Like, got a couple of different houses we could jump on.
Yeah, something like that. All right. All right. Peace out, guys.
We out.
All right. I'm sad.
Shit.